from the Packers TV network. Going end zone to end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
And welcome to the post-Christmas edition of Packers Live. Lance Allen alongside the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee. And Wayne, I know you're a good boy, so did Santa give you everything you ever dreamed of this year?
Short of the playoffs, yes.
That new Ferrari or whatever you were going to...
Didn't quite get that.
Man, I thought you'd be that good. All right. It's the holiday season. Let's start off with a gift. On a frigid night, the Packers defense did a solid job holding the Vikings to 236 yards, Wayne, and just one touchdown. So what went wrong, in your opinion, when they played such good defense overall?
They were solid defensively. Kenny Clark up front had a couple of sacks in this ball game. This young man is really coming to the fore. I thought they did a solid job for the most part against the run. Nothing got really out of hand. The defense, and again, the defense was down a few starters. Kyler Fackrell made a play or two, and they even did a good job on the wide stuff with Stephon Diggs trying to run that jet sweep type of thing. But I thought this defense played pretty well in this ball game. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It was a cold night. That helped the defense maybe a little bit. But that's a pretty good Vikings offense out there. They were ranked in the top 10 coming in.
It's certainly a winning effort by the defense. But, Wayne, one of the most disappointing aspects for Coach Mike McCarthy, the Packers did not use the home field advantage to their advantage. And first off, bad night for receivers, numerous crucial drops. You expect that more from a dome team, not a team that plays most of their games outdoors.
Yeah, really, no question about it. And the drops, you have to wonder what kind of an impact that had on the young quarterback as well. It was a tough night in that regard for offense. They just couldn't get anything going, and especially Jordy Nelson had a couple of drops in this ball game, and it was tough to watch in that regard.
It wasn't just one person, too. You saw multiple receivers there making the drops. All right,
Absolutely. And
the Packers also seemed to struggle with the tricky Lambeau Field turf situation more than the Vikings. Not good because both teams played on it, Wayne. It's the home field for the green and gold, but it seemed like the Packers had more issues than the Minnesota Vikings.
And I'm at a loss as to why, because that's a pregame warm-up, as Mike McCarthy said after the game, is all about. Your pregame's about figuring out, you know, how you're going to maneuver on the field, what kind of spikes do you need, what length do you need in your spikes and that type of thing. But, I do know this. The field was in great shape. And when they pulled the tarp off for the pregame warm-ups, you could see there was, as we watched it, there was a little bit of a glaze.
Yeah.
You know, some of the
condensation. Seemed like between the 20 and the 35-yard line on the south end, a little bit.
I mean, it was no problem. It wasn't any – there's no one to blame here. It just was the way the field was because of the frigid conditions. But, it was a little alarming to see the Packers slipping more so than the Vikings.
I know they're going to do a makeover of the field and kind of redo things because that turf is getting a little bit worn that they replace whatever. But still, Wayne, I mean, you can't make excuses about that because it's the same for both teams.
And for December, late December, this field was in very good shape, in my opinion, when I was down there in pregame. Now, again, did it get a little slick as the weather got cooler in the evening? Maybe. But by the same token, I was surprised to see the Packers slipping the way they did.
Me as well. All right. Brett Hundley's night was another frustrating venture at Lambeau Field despite some solid performances on the road. Still is not connected for a touchdown pass at home combined with 7 home field interceptions.
Yeah, really, and hard to explain why so bad at home and yet so good on the road. You saw he tried to force one in there to Kendricks in the red zone. That was very difficult. They didn't get many sustained drives against this great Vikings defense, but that's one they had to capitalize on.
All right, so the end result. It's the second shutout this season at home. No matter what the other issues you want to dissect, when you're an offensive team, it's really hard to get past that, Wayne, that 2 times in one season, first time since McCarthy's first year in 2006, they've been shut out twice at home in the same season.
It really is surprising when you think about it. And even though, again, they did not have Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre at quarterback in those circumstances, although they did in 2006 have Brett Favre at quarterback and suffered 2 shutouts. But Baltimore is a very good defense. They're going to be heading to the playoffs in the AFC, and we know the Vikings might be the best defense in football.
Still kind of embarrassing, Wayne, in the sense that, you know, the Vikings, the only other shutout they had in this series was way back in 1971, a 3-0 thriller in Minneapolis. But this is your rival.
I was amazed to hear that.
But it's your rival. You still have to show up, play the game, be professional, and somehow, some way put pressure
on. And Lance, I really think the Packers did show up, and they did play with intensity. The problem is, when you're not taking the ball away or sacking the quarterback for big losses, it looks like it's not going well on defense. When you're not scoring and moving the football and scoring touchdowns on offense, you look like you're a little flat. You're really not. These guys are out there. They were prepared. They were trying. Don't misuse effort for execution.
They were trying.
They didn't execute as well as they'd like to. The effort was there, in my opinion.
They just didn't get it done. All right, enough of that negativity in the Chalk Talk. One of this year's brightest stars and another stellar outing against Minnesota. Stay with us.
Packers Live is sponsored by Johnsonville, Mills Fleet Farm, Spectrum, and TIAA.
Welcome back to Packers Live. This has been a season filled with disappointment on offense and defense for the Green Bay Packers. But Kenny Clark has been a breakout performer all season long, and Saturday night was no different. Here's The Rock, Larry McCarron, with today's Chalk Talk.
Kenny Clark has always been a big, strong man who could play the run. But over the course of this season, he's become so much more. Let's take a look. Here's Clark, and on this play, he's going to earn himself and the Green Bay Packers a sack because he is instinctive and athletic. Let's watch the pass rush. Clark heading inside, as does Mike Daniels. And at this point, they're both in the same rush lane. Probably not a good idea. So Clark bounces it to the next lane. But somehow, some way, he senses Kyler Fackrell is heading there. So Clark bounces it to the next lane. And now look what the Packers have. One, two, three. They have Case Keenum in a green and gold cage. And when he tries to escape, Clark is waiting there to drop him for a 9-yard loss. Another case in point. Here's Clark right here. Another pass rush, and he beats the center instantly. And uh-oh, something's up. That was too easy. Clark is looking for the screen right now. And he's not only looking, he's finding and covering the screen and covering it so well. Keenum has nowhere to go with the football. Clark chases him out of bounds and is credited with another sack. Now, there are a number of big, strong guys in the NFL who can take on double teams and play the run, but not many can also do this. Explode off the line of scrimmage, use their hands very well to beat the blocker cold, and then have the closing speed to get a hit on the quarterback. Kenny Clark, more than a run stuffer, a lot more.
I'm just trying to take advantage of my opportunities and I'm working hard at practice and, you know, trying to be great, you know.
In the pocket, has time initially. Barry's hit and sacked.
I know they're pros, Wayne. You get paid to play the game, but there's something to be said for Clark playing hard against the Vikings.
He's played hard all year, Lance. Mm-hmm. He came to the team as a 20-year-old rookie, and he is 21 years old, has really matured into a standout performer.
Very mature guy. All right, next up, Rod Burks comes in to stir things up on the roundtable. Stay with us. Roundtable time, and Rod Burks, Packers TV Network, joins us. First item up for debate, gentlemen. The Packers have apparently irritated half the league when they placed Aaron Rodgers back on injured reserve. In fact, some say the Packers should be forced to release him. It's not going to happen, but they should be penalized? Draft picks? A fine? What do you guys think?
Well, the rule states that you have to have a new injury from a player that's going to be at least 6 weeks, and you can put him on injured reserve. So the Packers, after Rodgers played against the Panthers, we were told that he had Mike didn't say this, but he had a setback.
Right.
But they never announced
Mike
a new
just
injury.
Said he was sore.
Mike said he was sore. But other people are saying he had a setback. But he never announced a new injury. And so then a few days, once they were out of playoff contention, after Atlanta won, they just put him on IR, and a lot of teams didn't like it.
Yeah, you know, and again, But every team would have done the same thing in their shoes.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys that go on injured reserve this time of the year that you go, okay, they're not hurt that bad, but they just go on injured reserve. Yeah. So how do you view this?
But some are saying he shouldn't even play in that game. I mean, some people are saying he shouldn't even play in that game, but he gave it his all. He gusted out, took some big-time shots, took some big hits.
He was medically cleared.
He's medically cleared. So, you know, it's one of those things that, no, I don't think he's getting released.
Very, very touchy issue. But yeah, no, he's not going anywhere. All right, we got our first look at wide receiver Michael Clark in a regular season game. Three catches, including one diving grab, but he left a few more out there. What's his future look like in what could be a very fluid and turbulent offseason for the receiver group, guys? What do you think about Michael Clark going forward? Big body guy.
He's got some size.
Got
He's
potential.
He's got some ability. He's got some work to do. He's a little raw. I mean, he made that catch right there was a nice catch. The one in the end zone, I think he could have made a touchdown. He had to suck his hands out. I mean, the bright lights were big for him. He's got some room to grow.
And you mentioned it. He's raw. He's a raw talent. They really like him. He was very impressive at training camp, but everyone knew he had a lot to learn. The back shoulder should have been a TD.
Right.
Back shoulder throw in the end zone. Great throw by Brett Hundley. It looked to me like his hands came in instead of going out to get the ball. That's all. But that's, again, a young receiver. He's got great size. So I think there's a place for him in this receiving corps, Rod, and I think that's why Sunday's game is so important for him.
Yeah, he took some leaps and bounds. I mean, he made some plays. I mean, that one, when he stretched out, that showed you that he can make some plays.
He's got some potential. There's no doubt about it. Just, you know, a little bit of inexperience, but I think it's
basketball
coming around.
Player. Yeah, most basketball players get into the NFL if they play well.
The more he practices, the better he'll play. Absolutely. All right, Reggie Gilbert is another guy that saw his first action Saturday night, had a couple of pressures, forced the Vikings and Case Keenum to punt with incompletions on third down. And again, that edge rushing group is looking for depth. So do you view Reggie Gilbert as a guy you take a look at going forward?
I like this guy coming out of training camp. I thought he did enough to try to stick on the team. He made some plays during the preseason. He got a couple quarterback hits against the Vikings. I really like this guy, but they sliced him. And he showed, I mean, his first NFL action, he made some plays. I like what I saw out of him.
Mike McCarthy told me in the pregame, he said, you know, this guy's been hitting it out of the park on the scout team, in camp, on the practice squad, all through the season. So they felt he deserved a chance to be elevated and got him into the ball game. And, yeah, he showed up.
Well,
he really
let's face facts, guys. They have not rushed the passer very well all year. You're going to take every avenue, every opportunity to look at a guy like this multiple times.
I mean, I thought the guy did enough to make the team. I mean, can you imagine what if he had a couple quarterback hits, last night. I mean, on Saturday night. And you look at this guy's like, I was surprised he didn't make the team. He made some hits. I mean, he looks like he understands the defense. You know, he doesn't mind putting a hat on somebody.
And a lot of times that comes down to a numbers game. Maybe they had too many guys at that position or whatever. Making the team, there's a lot of numbers involved with that.
They
may not have everything to do with how you performed on the field, that kind of thing.
And once again, he's inexperienced. So, Wayne, I agree with you in the sense that he probably needed some seasoning on the practice squad or some seasoning or whatever. So you're not going to wait on a guy like that.
Right.
But now it looks like the lights aren't too bright for him.
That's a good point. But the edge rushing has been one of their biggest problems.
Right.
It's been one of their biggest problems on defense. They can't get to the quarterback, which makes it hard for the cornerbacks in the back. And
on a consistent basis. You know, there have been games where they've had three sacks. There's a game they had seven. But, you know, week to week, and against good offensive lines, absolutely, you guys are correct.
All right, next subject. First play of the game, Jason Spriggs goes down with a knee injury. Mike McCarthy said it looked serious. So between Spriggs, Brian Bulaga's injury, the right tackle, the starter, he was already out, for most of the year. Corey Linsley becoming a free agent. The offensive line is filled with question marks as well. What do you do at offensive line, gentlemen?
Wow.
That's a lot to digest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think you bring back Brian Bulaga. I mean, he's proven to be a great player for him when he's healthy.
But at what price, Rod?
He's making decent money. But
and I like
still
Brian
think
a lot.
I like Brian a lot. He's a great protector, great run blocker. But I just think that, his knees, obviously they're fragile. He's getting late in his career. But I think you need him on the offensive line. You need that veteran leadership to try to teach these guys. I think you got to have him back.
If I'm not mistaken, Brian's not even 30 years old
28
yet,
years
so
old.
He
Wayne.
Still has, some time. It's not like he's 35 and he's coming off a second knee injury. But you're right. I mean, and by the way, he's probably not going to be ready until the regular season anyway at the earliest. So you've got a question mark there. Spriggs was a guy. This was so crucial to get a look at him over an extended period of time. And you know what? He's had some ups and downs, but he's actually got steadily better.
Mostly downs.
He's been improving these last 3 or 4 weeks. I hated to see him go out of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, the line against Minnesota, they did a nice job.
I think you have to keep Corey Linsley for that. I mean, he's been there out there every single snap and played very well this year.
I think Corey Linsley's a must. I mean, they're going to bring him back. But I think Jason Spriggs has been a big disappointment for this team. They moved up in the draft to get this guy in the second round. And I know you said he's improving, but he's got a long way to go.
Yeah,
I mean, do you put that guy out there? Is he starting for you to protect Aaron Rodgers? Do you trust him that much?
All I can tell you is...
Do you trust him that much?
All I can say is this. Larry McCarron, whom I respect a lot, his opinion on offensive linemen, said this guy has great tools. Yeah. Great tools.
And Lyon,
but the problem
is the
O-line
expert.
Put it all together.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. You know, there are a lot of guys who have great tools and can play with any of these guys in the NFL, but they don't have the makeup of the pro. And that's what we're looking at.
And Larry knows that. But I mean, being Brian a former offensive lineman, he knows.
When he came in as a rookie, he made plays. And he started in the Super Bowl. You could see early that this guy was going to be a player for them. And I just haven't seen it from Jason Spriggs.
Was also a first-round draft.
I got it.
And the left side is pretty much set. I mean, Bakhtiari, Taylor, and if you bring back Linsley, I think you're good. It's the right side with Evans as well as the situation with Bulaga and Spriggs. That's going to be the question mark. All right, up next, Mason Crosby dials up the Wayback Machine, shares a laugh about his Packers debut. Stay with us.
Packers Live is sponsored by Menards, UW Health, and Toyota.
Welcome back on Packers Live. One of the Packers' truly dependable veterans is kicker Mason Crosby. Way back in 2007, he had quite a debut. Despite some interference from one of his teammates, he hit the game winner. It's our Packers Extra.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
I kicked a 53-yarder, was my first field goal in the NFL, and I still remember I lined up. And Rob Davis is our snapper, and it had been raining in the game, and there was paint on the ball. So he like stood up. I'm like set, ready to go, and he's like, you know, we need a new ball because it was like, you know, slick and nasty. So he pretty much he tried to ice me on my first kick, you know. So I lined back up and you know, hit it through, and then you know, later on, obviously in the game, that moment whenever you know you see Brett Favre, I'm a rookie and he's taking a knee, setting me up to kick the game-winning field goal. I'm like, all right, this is you know, this is what it's all about. You know, it's big time.
It is good, and there is your dagger delivered by Mason Crosby.
Amazing way to start my career.
I like that guy that does the dagger call, too. He's pretty good.
I'm glad he remembered it.
I love these inside stories where you see Rob Davis stand up and you don't even remember that part of it. You just remember Mason Crosby kicking the 53-yarder. But we got to give him some kudos. Snap problems, Wayne. Hold problems this year. It really hasn't affected Mason Crosby that much, if at all, this whole season.
Yeah, he's only had, what, 3 missed field goals. And that's with, I think, 3 different snappers, if I'm is my count correct?
I don't know. I think it is.
You know, but that many snappers and a new holder. You know, Justin Vogel's done a great job as a punter. As a holder, he's been developing, and I think he's gotten better as the season's gone along, and Mason has a little more confidence in him. But that's a lot of changes in the operation of the field goal unit to go through for that not to have impact on your kicker, and it's to his credit, it has not.
3 different long snappers. You got to bring back Brett Goode. Yeah, a lot of things can go wrong, but somehow, some way, they've gotten it done. All right, up next, we'll look forward to the season finale in Detroit. What are we going to be keeping our eye on as both teams play out the string? Just thinking about the long snappers during the break. Tabor Pepper, Derek Hart, and Brett Goode. How about that? That's a trivia question right there.
I barely remember them all.
3 long snappers in 1 year. It's not your year. All right. When the schedule came out in April, many looked at another possible battle for the NFC North title in this final week at Ford Field, just like last season. Instead, it's 2 teams out of playoff contention instead of in it. What are you going to be focused on from a Packers perspective?
Some of the younger players. Again, I want to see Michael Clark again. I think this kid can develop fast now that he's out there on the field playing. So I want to see that for sure. And there are a number of guys you want to continue to look at, especially on that defensive side of the football. Reggie Gilbert, see him again and see if he shows up again. Maybe see Vince Beagle get into the mix and make something happen, that type of deal. And I know the Lions are in the same boat as the Packers, so they're looking for some young people.
Well, and also
as well.
Some pride. I mean, it's a division opponent. You want to finish the season 8-8 sounds better than 7-9, even though that sounds a little bit trite, Wayne. But still, I think it sounds better.
It does, and you know. But again, I think this game is so important for the young players on both teams that are trying to make an impression on their organizations moving forward.
All right, we'll see you on Packers Live next week.